Hey, good morning. My name is Khopotso Budibe and welcome to Africa Gender Indaba, your weekly platform where we focus on gender justice, human rights and development on the continent here on Channel Africa, your station that broadcasts from the African perspective. Thank you for joining us. We come to you via PES-10 satellite in sub-Saharan Africa, also via DSTV audio bouquet channel 802 and online on www.channelafrica.co.za all over the world. Coming up in this edition of Africa Gender Indaba, we'll focus on stimulus packages aimed at alleviating the impact of COVID-19 on citizens in Zimbabwe from a gendered lens, while raising critical recommendations going forward. Our discussions will look at how these stimulus packages helped address or did not address the sexual and gender-based violence, SGBV, that spiked during the pandemic. First, let us start by examining what a stimulus package is in the context of Zimbabwe. And let's put that question to Tawanda Zimunga, Deputy Director of Child Protection Services in the Ministry of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare in Zimbabwe. Tawanda, over to you.
The basis for provision of social protection services is the National Social Protection Framework for Zimbabwe, where we define social protection as a set of interventions, and the objective is to reduce social and economic risk and vulnerability and alleviate poverty and deprivation. So the framework recognizes Zimbabwe's commitment to poverty eradication as envisaged in the Constitution, the Sustainable Development Goals, and other international declarations that identify social protection as a basic human right. So in Zimbabwe, we've conceptualized and said social protection is a basic human right as provided for in the Constitution, and also the Sustainable Development Goals, especially goal number 1 and 2. And the overall goal of social protection is to provide services that reduce poverty, vulnerability, reduce inequality, and at the same time enhance access to basic social services. So when emergencies arise, such as COVID-19, we provide social protection so that we reduce vulnerability, we mitigate the impact of the disaster.
Now, during times of disaster, such as the one we're living under, the COVID-19 pandemic, it has been shown that levels of sexual and gender-based violence often do increase as couples and families spend unusually long times together as opposed to when there is no disaster. What are the factors that lead to the increase of violence within homes during times such as these?
When households and communities are placed under strain, face increased economic pressure, and activities such as school, education, recreation, work are disrupted, the risk of multiple forms of violence can increase. And now we have social protection playing a pivotal role in both preventing and responding to such violence, as it seeks to address most factors that may expose both men and women and children, boys and girls, to SGBV. Some of the factors that contribute to girls' vulnerability in case of a disaster. There are so many factors, including limited livelihood options, because when in a disaster, restricted access to education and basic services, disasters may result in this situation whereby children are restricted, women and girls are restricted from accessing basic social services. One very important aspect to take note of, when disasters occur, communities may engage in negative coping mechanisms such as drug abuse, child marriages, and many others which are detrimental to the welfare of children and also the welfare of humanity at large. Going through with the factors again, perceptions that men should face the crisis in a manly manner, negative coping mechanisms.
States have the responsibility to intervene to prevent and address these situations. Talk to us about the need for states to provide social protection and assistance during such times of disaster, particularly with intentions to reduce sexual and gender-based violence.
When we provide social protection, we want to mitigate the impact the effects of HGBV. And social protection has positive impacts on the lives of survivors of HGBV, including mitigating risks related to SGBV, as they are designed to form a coherent system that promotes equity, resilience, and opportunities for the poor and vulnerable. And the Zimbabwe's social protection system funds social safety nets, social insurance, labor market interventions, and social care programs. And now we need to address the root causes of GBV, because one of the causes of GBV is inequality and unequal power relations between girls and boys, men and women especially. And social protection can therefore reduce and respond to gender-based violence. For example, if cash transfers can increase economic security, as they do, this can lead to a reduction in poverty-related stress and increase emotional well-being, and at the same time addressing some of the drivers of SGBV.
It sounds like social protection programs by nature have the capacity to address the health, social, and economic consequences that stem from sexual and gender-based violence. Is that correct?
Yes. SGBV has negative health consequences. Examples which include unwanted pregnancies, complications, STIs, mental health and psychosocial effects, including depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, suicide, and violence can also affect children's survival, development, and school participation, and even lead to death. I think we've seen in the media an increase in cases of ritual murders, which are rampant across the whole country. Social protection programs play a critical role in ensuring that safety and well-being of SGBV survivors should be central in all decisions and case planning. So when we have survivors of SGBV, safety is very important. At the same time, we ensure that emergency care is given absolute priority.
Tawanda, talk to us about some of the COVID-19 stimulus packages that Zimbabwe put into place over the last year.
One of the stimulus packages includes basic education assistance module and other education assistance programs by partners, the harmonized social case transfer, where we also mainstream peace and social cohesion. We wouldn't want social protection in itself to contribute to disharmony in the community, to violence in the family, but we want to mainstream peace and social cohesion. We want to ensure that social protection results in social cohesion in the community, results in unity in the family, because we provide assistance. Access to food through our various strategies, like the food deficit mitigation strategy by government and other development partners, at the same time, mainstreaming peace and social cohesion.
Tawanda Zimunga is the Deputy Director responsible for Child Protection Services in the Ministry of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare in Zimbabwe. He is joining us here on Africa Gender Indaba on Channel Africa as we focus on stimulus packages that Southern African country has introduced to mitigate the impacts of COVID-19, and we're particularly looking at mitigating the effects of sexual and gender-based violence, SGBV, in our discussion. Now, let's hear other voices. Let's hear from the Executive Director of Zimbabwe Women's Bureau, Ronica Mumbire, who has been listening to what Tawanda Zimunga has been saying. Ronica, what is your analysis of what government has been doing to alleviate the effects of COVID-19 on communities, particularly sexual and gender-based violence, and what have been your observations of the effects of the pandemic on the ground?
Yes, the government has been doing several things, but because there is a disaster that has come through, it means even the environment that we have been living in changes in response to the disaster that has come. So if we had gender-based violence before, it changes and you would realize it increased because of the changing situation that we're exposed to. So at the onset of COVID, the president called for a lockdown, which had several regulations around it to make sure that the government controls the spread of COVID-19. So we had, in the same period that we were talking about, there has been a sharp increase in the reported cases the trends in sexual violence from 2019 to 2021. So you would realize that there is a direct influence on the issues around SGBV against COVID prevalence. Then in the same period, we had also been experiencing drought, crop failure, macroeconomic challenges, issues around inflation and eroding of purchasing power for affordability of food, delivery of our healthcare, clean water. So combining all these challenges that we have been facing, it tells quite a big story in how this will consequently affect women along the way.
Also joining us in our discussion this morning is Akenya Chifamba, director of Shamwari Yemwanasiga, a girls' rights organization in Zimbabwe. Akenya, what are your observations on this issue? Have you experienced that girls have suffered increased abuse in Zimbabwe during the COVID-19 period?
Thank you very much. We have seen a 40% increase in GBV cases. 5,000 girls became teen mothers. And these are just the recorded cases, those with which have passed through the hospitals or cases that have been reported to the police. And I'm just thinking about the number of girls who are not recorded, but were also affected by such similar situations. And the 7,000 plus statistics that we also read of between October and December of 2020. And for us as an organization, I think between that period of January 2020 going to December 2020, we directly dealt with more than 1,200 cases of abuse of young women between the ages of zero up to 18. And we have been seeing what has been happening on social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and also the WhatsApp platform, just giving reference to some of the cases that made a lot of noise. The doctor in Chiredzi who shot his children and almost killed his wife. We saw a couple that fought over a remote control, and one ended up losing his life. We had one case that we attended to in Woodlands that made noise also on several media platforms of the young kids who were residing in Woodlands, staying with their stepmother and not being given food as punishment for what the father was doing to her, how they were facing economic challenges. So there are too many of these issues that we'd look into, but I thought it would also be important for us to talk about it and look at the situation on the ground.
Akenya, hold that thought. We'll continue our conversation in a bit. Hello there. My name is Khopotso Budibe, your host here on Africa Agenda Indaba on Channel Africa, your station that broadcasts from the African perspective. You're hearing us via PES 10 satellite, also on DSTV Audio Bouquet Channel 802 and online on www.channelafrica.co.za. We're taking a short break, and when we return, we will continue with our programming focusing on increased levels of sexual and gender-based violence that have occurred in Zimbabwe during the lockdown period of COVID-19 and the government stimulus packages that Southern African country has introduced to mitigate the impacts of COVID-19.
Coronavirus is a disease that causes respiratory illness like the flu with symptoms such as a cough, fever, and in more severe cases, difficulty breathing. You can protect yourself by washing your hands frequently, avoiding touching your face, and avoiding close contact 1 meter or 3 feet with people who are unwell. If you suspect to have contracted COVID-19, contact the relevant health authorities in your area. Keep listening to Channel Africa, the African perspective will keep you updated on the latest on the coronavirus.
Welcome back. Now, before the break, Kenya, you mentioned some of the cases of abuse that women, girls and families encountered during the lockdown period in Zimbabwe. You spoke of a 40% increase, 40% increase in gender-based violence and 5,000 girls getting pregnant. And those are just reported cases, which means those numbers could be just the tip of the iceberg. You said your organization alone, Shamwari Yemwanasiga, dealt with more than 1,200 cases of abuse of girls from the age of 0 to 18 from January to December 2020. Now, talk to us about some of the issues that you documented as the pandemic raged on during the Zimbabwe lockdown.
Majority of our young girls also having been under lockdown with potential abusers, because normally they are close family members, uncles, their fathers, their brothers, and these are the same people that they were under lockdown with. And we're still battling with issues around social norms. They could not even get support for them to go and report these cases. Some didn't have the airtime, some didn't have knowledge about the toll-free numbers that are in existence that are provided for by several organizations, Musasa, Childline, just to mention a few. They didn't have the knowledge as well. And not to mention the impacts and effects of the economic hardships. Also, we have seen stories that were circulating on social media, how some of our young girls resorted to sex work as a way of survival, because these girls are coming from different backgrounds. Some who are coming from backgrounds where both parents are there, but still not able to provide for their families, given the situation that, you know, some lost their jobs. Others could not go and sell their produce on the markets. And also some coming from backgrounds where they're actually double orphaned, and they're the ones whom the whole family are looking up to for survival. So these are some of the challenges that we had and gathered from the communities and our interactions. And some of them as well would also pick them up from our interactions on social media pages, our interactions, articles that would also read that were written by analysts or fellow civil society organizations with regards to the challenges that women and girls are facing during the pandemic.
Ronica, let me bring you back into the conversation. Earlier, we had the Deputy Director responsible for Child Protection Services in the Ministry of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare in Zimbabwe, Tawanda Zimunga, speaking of a government stimulus package to reduce the effects of COVID-19 on communities, including women and children who suffered sexual and gender-based violence. What stimulus package did you see being delivered for the people?
We had the president unveiling an 18 billion economic rescue and stimulus package. The aim of the stimulus package was to provide liquidity support to the productive sectors, manufacturing, agriculture, mining, tourism, while also targeting employment protection, recovery of micro and small medium enterprises, strengthening and expansion of existing social safety networks, including direct income support for vulnerable groups and individuals, improvement of financial inclusion through banks and microfinance institutions, and upscaling investments in economic and social infrastructure. Then we also had cash transfers to cover 1 million poor and vulnerable communities, many of which are women-headed, and still my questions remain if people benefited out of them. Then we also had the SI 96, which deferred rentals and mortgages. Quite interesting discussion to say when the deference of rentals and mortgages was done, who benefit, who lost out. Then we have radio lessons for the children. So these are some of the packages that the government introduced so that they can make sure that industries continue to work, communities also are supported during the period of COVID.
You say that the president of Zimbabwe unveiled an $18 billion stimulus package, part of which was to address gender inequality, women's earning capacity, and general poverty in the country. What impact did the intervention have in addressing those issues? In other words, was it helpful in that regard? Were you able to see what it did?
At times, we lose to get the direct effect. And my reasons being, yes, the stimulus package was quite a necessity. It was necessary to have these stimulus packages in place. And because we don't have any assessment that has been done to link our stimulus package that has been given during this COVID to our gender-based violence, we don't have a direct impact assessment that has come through. But just giving an analysis of how these relate to the various contexts that we've mentioned, you would realize that there has been a gap in terms of consultation and engagement. I think it would have added value, lots of value. So because people have not been consulted, you'd realize that you can't pick the direct impact of the stimuluses on gender-based violence. For example, all of us agree that gender-based violence has increased during this period of COVID, but there is no direct link between the packages and the problem that we have during COVID. So ideally, because we have a problem in gender-based violence, we were supposed to have a direct connection between the packages that we give and the problem that we have. And these have fallen off along the way because of the emergence that we were faced with and the need to come up with a solution. But when we did that, to some extent, that shortcut that happened in trying to quickly solve also created a gap along the way.
Akenya, what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on what Ronica has just spoken about? Do you also have concerns around the delivery of these stimulus packages and what they have been or not been able to do to alleviate the plight of Zimbabweans during the COVID-19 pandemic?
You know, I strongly feel that some of these packages have also brought about, questions that are asked by people, like what Ronica was saying. Who does benefit from this? What's the criteria that is used for the incentives that we send through EcoCash, issues around inflation, and also the boost that was given through the Ministry of Women Affairs? How far did it go? How many women benefited from it? Is it bringing the change, the difference that we really are looking forward to or expecting, or there is more that we feel needs to be done? And also efforts being made collectively, are we seeing the impact? Is it something that we can clap hands to and say we have done so much with regards to responding to issues around gender-based violence under the existing circumstances? So personally, I also feel that, GBV is a pandemic within a pandemic. And here in Zimbabwe, we need to give it more attention because then I've realized, issues that affect women and girls have never really been at the center of discussion. We have seen discussions that have been done around minerals, around agriculture, around health. Now we are prioritizing the vaccination programs and all. But my concern also is that if we ignore the statistics, how they continue to rise, if we're going to ignore the service provision sector and how it can be improved as well, we are also going to deal with more complicated issues with regards to these teen mothers who are going to drop out of school 5 years from now. What are we going to do with the increase in statistics of HIV? What is going to be done about the mental health issues which are breeding right now? Imagine the women who lost children, who lost their husbands, who were the pillars of survival. Imagine the young girls who were raped by their fathers. Are we also ensuring that we are providing a safe haven for them so that they can heal, move on, and get to live their lives again, and being normal? So this is all important. So I strongly feel also that we also need to look into the mitigation measures on how best we propose going forward, given the crisis that is at hand.
While you're on that, what do you think needs to be done going forward in a post-COVID lockdown situation? What needs to be done to address issues of inequality and sexual and gender-based violence comprehensively, Akenya?
I highlighted earlier on that, this is a pandemic within a pandemic. So if you're going to look at the stimulus packages, it's also important that as the government of Zimbabwe, in partnership with the CSOs and ensuring that we're leaving no one behind, let's have the policymakers coming on board, the independent commissions coming on board, and also the men and boys, what is it that can be done? Because I've seen that we do not have a clear strategy on how we are going to address the issue of gender-based violence within this pandemic and all the issues that I have highlighted on that could be affecting us in the 5 years to come. We cannot ignore them as well. So we need to come back, just like what we have done with the national strategy around child marriages and the other issues that we have also cited as emerging issues and were also important. And the agent need also to expand coverage of standalone national representative and prevalence on surveys through these independent commissions, Anti-Domestic Violence Council, Gender Commission, the civil society organizations as well. It's quite key and critical. And for us to continue on the advocacy work, utilize any media forms that we can, radio, television, print, and how each and every one of us can come on board. How do we rope in the churches? How do we rope in the traditional leaders? How do we rope in the media as well? And also improve services for post-GBV support and care, including availability of services close by, and also put in place mechanisms and services for victims and survivors. We do have one-stop centers here in Zimbabwe that have been put in place through the Ministry of Women Affairs and the other key ministries who also play a pivotal role. And then the civil society organizations who are also coming through to support. How best can we also ensure that service provision is also prioritized, and that resources are fully utilized within these centers to ensure that these women get enough when they are always also going there to access services, and also to continuously engage the police, the VFU police, to ensure that when these young women and girls go to report their cases, they are in an environment where they feel safe, and we uphold human rights at all levels. And also, given that this is a platform where we're leaving no one behind, and we feel the males are very critical, we can also ensure that our He For She campaign, which was launched by the Ministry of Women Affairs, and I've seen a number of embassies who have become part and parcel of this initiative, and we've also seen the Men Engage platform, which is here in Zimbabwe, also at regional international level, we also ensure it's well resourced. And these males also play a pivotal role in ensuring that they are involved in the conversation with regards to social, economic, and political issues that affect women and girls, and also upholding the component of gender equality.
Veronica, earlier you raised concerns about the fact that there is no way to quantify or gauge the effects of the stimulus packages that the government of Zimbabwe has put in place to address gender-based violence and gender inequality during this time of COVID-19. What do you think needs to be done to ensure that this is properly captured and that there is proper planning going forward?
So as recommendations, I recommend consultations in the introduction of stimulus, and also for people to build on to say what nature of stimulus are needed, what problem are we responding to. Then we also need to include a clear plan of financing the packages, so that they're not just figures that are thrown there and everybody becomes expectant, and during the time of need, the money doesn't come in time. I also recommend an inclusive and proper packages, so that we make sure that we cover all the people that that are in need. Then there is an urgent need for the impact assessment, so that we establish the direct link between these packages in gender-based violence. It will also help moving forward on helping and implementing some of these to help the victims of gender-based violence. Then gender-sensitive budgeting in coming up with these stimulus, you'd realize that at times inclusion of groups like women, the people living with disabilities, and the youth fall off, because when people make budgets, the assumption is they will be mainstreamed. And when you look at the final document, you see the mainstreaming is not there. So these are some of the things that needs to be considered from the onset to say, are we being gender sensitive when we do our budget? Then prevention and response to be a key part of the COVID-19 response and recovery plan. So you realize that in Zimbabwe, this has not really been the main focus of work, but we have, like I said, we've been in agreement that gender-based violence has been on the increase, but we have not been part of the response plan in terms of implementation of gender-based violence interventions.
Thank you to both of you for your time and engagement on this topic. On that note, let's take a short break and we'll pick up on this when we return.
During this lockdown, Musasa encourages you to find peaceful ways of resolving conflict within the home. If you face violence of any kind during this time, please call Musasa on toll-free line 080-800-7004 or WhatsApp on 0775-442-300 or visit any of our social media platforms. Counselors are waiting to attend to you 24/7. Continue to observe a strict personal hygiene and help stop the spread of COVID-19 and say no to gender-based violence. Musasa, zero tolerance towards violence to women and girls.
Welcome back. You're still tuned to Africa Gender Indaba here on Channel Africa, your station that broadcasts from the African perspective. You're hearing us via Past 10 satellite on DSTV Audio Bouquet Channel 802 and online on www.channelafrica.co.za. We're now concluding our focus on the stimulus packages that the government of Zimbabwe has introduced to alleviate the economic and social burdens presented by COVID-19 to Zimbabweans. In our discussion, we heard from Ronica Mumbire, Executive Director of Zimbabwe Women's Bureau, and Ekenia Chifamba, Director of Shamwari Yemwanasika, that they are concerned that interventions put in place by government are not reaching everyone that is supposed to benefit from them. Let's bring back the Deputy Director of Child Protection Services in the Ministry of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare in Zimbabwe, Tawanda Zimunga, into the conversation. Sir, there are concerns that citizens are not receiving social protection services. Are they receiving them? As the Deputy Director responsible for Child Protection Services, can you say that children in need of protection services are indeed receiving the services that they need and deserve?
The question about survivors as accessing social protection services, government has in place mechanisms to ensure that survivors of STBV access those services. And we have decentralized structures down to district level, where our department is social workers at the district level across the whole country. We've also gone further in ensuring that at the community level, we have a community cadre known as the child care worker, responsible for identifying cases of child abuse, SGBV among children, and refer those cases to appropriate service providers. What might be limiting, maybe during the lockdown, was the movement from the community to where services were. But as a department, we have mechanisms to ensure that the social worker, once a case has been identified at the district level, goes to the household and offer those services and facilitate provision of services by other different service providers. And for child protection services, the CCWs or anyone who knows a child who is being abused in the communities can report this to the nearest authorities, that is the police, the child care workers, the nearest government offices, so that the cases are attended to.
There is also the issue of government cash transfers targeting 1 million recipients who lost incomes due to COVID-19. Has that target been met? Have 1 million people been receiving the much needed cash? And what are the selection or qualification criteria to receive the cash transfers?
Monitoring of social protection programs is ongoing, including the cash transfers. We have cash transfers that were meant for those households affected by, whose livelihoods are affected by the COVID-19, and those small traders, small traders trading in selling tomatoes, bananas, mavenas, and so forth. And they were provided with cash transfers. And also we had an ongoing cash transfer of the vulnerable, which was also ongoing during the COVID-19 period. And this was accessed through EcoCash and NetOne. And we have also cash in transit, cash transfer that we have also implemented in selected districts. And we also have those households under public accessing their money through the POSB. So these are the different types of cash transfer that we've been implementing during the COVID-19 period. And the figure is far above 1 million. And more so including the in-kind transfers that we've been implementing and that we are still implementing in rural provinces where we have more than 5 million households benefiting from in-kind transfers from both government and the development partners. The figure might be, and monitoring of this is ongoing to ensure that the intended beneficiaries are getting the services and at the same time attending to inclusion and exclusion errors. The selection criteria includes self-targeting at the nearest district social welfare office, as well as proximity testing of the identified households, as well as community-based targeting, especially for the community-based program, the in-kind transfers that we are implementing.
Thank you so much for your time, Tawanda. With that, we end our discussion. That was Tawanda Zimunga, Deputy Director of Child Protection Services in the Ministry of Public Service, Labour and Social Welfare in Zimbabwe. He was speaking with us about the stimulus packages that the government of Zimbabwe has introduced in a bid to make life easier for Zimbabweans who have been harshly affected by the impacts of COVID-19, including the upsurge of sexual and gender-based violence that followed the pandemic. We were also joined earlier in this discussion by civil society leaders, Ronika Mumbive, Executive Director of Zimbabwe Women's Bureau, and Ekenya Chifamba, Director of Shamwari Yemwanasika, a children's rights organization. We know that civil society organizations are crucial to the empowerment of societies and the realization of human rights. Thank you to them for having also been part of the conversation. Hey, you are tuned to Africa Agenda Indaba on Channel Africa.
My name is Elias Mwindi, the program officer of Kenya Men Engage Alliance, an alliance of organizations working with men and boys to promote gender equality in Kenya. Currently, we have a problem of coronavirus in Kenya. Men can be in the forefront during this time by encouraging equitable sharing of domestic chores at home and also help in the engagement of women and girls in decision making, because most of the affected people are women and girls in rural areas. I would also suggest men should also promote education on the virus to other men in rural areas, because some of them may not know what is happening, and also ensure women's timely access to necessary healthcare services during the crisis. Because sometimes women get sick, they get diseases which may require urgent attention, and men can play a great role in that. And also helping in sending food supply to rural communities so that women can be able to get the necessary provisions for their families on a timely basis. And also in general provision and promotion of peaceful, inclusive, and prosperous community.
Coronavirus is a disease that causes respiratory illness like the flu, with symptoms such as a cough, fever, and in more severe cases, difficulty breathing. You can protect yourself by washing your hands frequently, avoiding touching your face, and avoiding close contact 1 meter or 3 feet with people who are unwell. If you suspect to have contracted COVID-19, contact the relevant health authorities in your area. Keep listening to Channel Africa, the African perspective will keep you updated on the latest on the coronavirus.
A And that signals that we have come to the end of this week's edition of Africa Agenda Indaba. Thank you for joining us. Let's catch up again next week. For now, goodbye. Take care of yourself and those around you.